MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Welcome to the Late Show. Welcome to the Late Show, everybody. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Right now, in the UK, in the United Kingdom right now, it is about 4:35 a.m., which means Queen Elizabeth's funeral has almost ended. But after 70 years on the throne, she deserves a proper send-off. The ceremony began this morning with a service at Westminster Abbey and a British military escort through London to the Wellington Arch, with British subjects paying their respects as her casket passed by. A fitting tribute for a beloved monarch, but pretty embarrassing for whoever forgot to put the crown inside before they closed the lid. Don't dash it all! Don't just stick it on top. It's fine. The procession was lengthy, with King Charles and siblings walking behind the coffin for nearly 1.5 hours. That's not easy. For years, the royal family's only form of exercise has been walking back statements from Andrew. The Queen's... Queen's corgis were also there, and because of the short legs, they were all given funeral skateboards. Thousands of people gathered along the route to honor the late monarch, requiring 22 miles of barriers to be erected in central London alone. Of course, those in the city who wanted to know exactly where the procession was at any one moment along the route could just download the Domino's Monarch Tracker. Come on! They're taking a left at the Wellington Arch! That's gonna be 2 more stoplights. She better come with free garlic knots. The procession was led into the church by officer-in-arms with some pretty fancy titles, including, and these are all real, the Maltravers Herald Extraordinary, the Rouge Dragon Pursuivant, and the Lady Usher of the Black Rod. Lady Usher of the Black Rod, coincidentally, also the UK's number one search on Pornhub. One interesting moment was when the Lord Chamberlain ceremonially broke the wand of office, signifying the end of the Queen's reign. So if I know my royal protocol, I believe King Charles now has to go pick out a new wand at Ollivander's in Diagon Alley before he can return to be headmaster of Hogwarts. In observance of the memorial, the UK government declared today an official holiday. Most movie theaters were also closed, but offered screenings of the Queen's funeral. I believe we have footage, is this true, of the moving opening remarks.
Somehow, heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
Of course, amen, Nicole. Of course, the Queen's funeral wasn't the only solemn observance today, September 19th. Also, International Talk Like a Pirate Day. So, with a heavy heart and the gravest of respects, I say, yarr. She will be missed. She was a good lassie. Yarr. Of course, a lot of world leaders attended the funeral. Eventually, they attended because, for one, Joe Biden was forced to wait for a seat after he arrived late. The president may have been delayed because before he left, he sat down for an interview with 60 Minutes zaddy Scott Pelley and made a stunning announcement.
Is the pandemic over?
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over.
Which is it, Joe? We have trouble with COVID, or is the pandemic over? Lorraine, the affair is over. I still have sex with Bethany every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, but the affair is over. I gotta go, it's 5:45. I'll be right back. So what made Biden decide everything is all super chill now?
Everybody seems to be in pretty good shape. If you notice, no one's wearing masks.
Yeah, no one's wearing masks. Right, audience? Wasn't all business. Biden also gave Pele a little tour and showed him a favorite keepsake.
He showed us his other inspiration in a cartoon that his father had framed. In it, the Viking Hagar confronts God after a lightning strike, a blow like those endured by the president.
And he's looking up, and what's he say? He says, "Why me, God?" In the next scene, a voice from heaven, "Why not?"
Whatever gets you through the night, it's a little weird. Of course, he's not the first president to draw inspiration from a Sunday comic. Who can forget the famous sign on Truman's desk? "The buck stops because I feel fat. Ack!" It's Kathy. There was one notable moment in the interview. See, usually when it comes to the ongoing tensions between China and Taiwan, the United States maintains what's called strategic ambiguity. But Biden was tactically pretty clear.
What should Chinese President Xi know about your commitment to Taiwan?
We agree with what we signed on to a long time ago, and that there's a one China policy, that Taiwan makes their own judgments about their independence.
But would U.S. forces defend the island?
Yes, if in fact there was an unprecedented attack.
So unlike Ukraine, to be clear, sir, U.S. forces, U.S. men and women, would defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion?
Yes.
Okay. Calm down, China. You know we buy all the iPhones you make, right? You want some more Transformers movies? We can make more Transformers movies, okay? We got Michael Bay chained in a basement, okay? We'll send you Shia LaBeouf. He's got some free time right now. Okay, just calm down. You don't want Taiwan. You don't want... There's an update about who might want to be the president next. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, seen here. Seen here watching your grandma fall into a ditch. Last week. Wow.
Intense.
Wow. Yeah. He has become famous. Last week, DeSantis made headlines for kidnapping 2 plane loads of migrants and then flying them to Martha's Vineyard. Well, it turns out it was way worse than we imagined because he actually abducted them from Texas. For a guy who acts so concerned about borders, he doesn't seem to know where his state ends. So why is the governor? Why, I say? Why? So why is the governor of Florida spending his taxpayers' money to snatch asylum seekers in Texas? Because he can read their minds.
Because their intent, most of them are intending to come to Florida.
Come on. No one intends to go to Florida. You go. You're forced to go there for 2 reasons, okay? You're about to die and want to eat pudding next to an alligator. Or you want to do that Disney thing where you can build your own lightsaber. They have 4 available hilt styles. DeSantis went on explaining that you can't ever know what asylum seekers might be thinking because cars...
If you want to do it effectively, you just can't police if you have 2 people in a car and there's 100 different cars that come in a different week because it looks like your car or anybody else.
Oh, I remember that one from the SAT. If two people are traveling in a car and there are hundreds of different cars, how big of an a-hole is Ron DeSantis? Gaping.
Mas grande.
We also learned more from the migrants themselves. According to their lawyer, DeSantis' people lied to them to lure them onto the planes.
Accounts from the migrants who arrived last night make it clear that they were lied to again and again. They were told there was a surprise present for them and that there would be jobs and housing awaiting for them when they arrived. This was obviously a sadistic lie.
Yes. Imagine being told that you're getting a surprise present, and then when you land, someone hands you a bowl of chowder. It's clams and hot milk. It's sadistic. Call the Hague. According to the migrants themselves, they were approached at a McDonald's where a well-dressed woman who introduced herself as Perla handed them gift cards. Wait a second. These people were at a McDonald's and they love gift cards? They're already Americans. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure the citizenship test is just that and naming one football team. Like the New York Strong Boys. Or the Kansas City Balloons. Before boarding, the migrants were told they were going to Boston and were informed midair that they were actually going to land in Martha's Vineyard. DeSantis' goons didn't do much to help them prepare, as their lawyer explained.
They were provided with a cartoonishly simple map of Martha's Vineyard and the United States.
Now, that doesn't seem like a very useful map, but they also gave them a poster of the Milky Way that said, "You are here." We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Ana de Armas.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, you know my first guest from films such as Knives Out and No Time to Die. She now stars as Marilyn Monroe in Blonde.
Please come. Please come. Don't abandon me. Please.
She's coming.
Please come.
She's coming.
Don't abandon me.
She's coming. She's almost here.
Please come.
Please welcome Ana de Armas. Lovely to have you on. I've never had a chance to talk to you before, but I've been a long admirer of yours.
Thank you so much.
Such an extraordinary moment.
Yes.
In that movie. And as I was saying to you backstage, who knew that Ana de Armas looked like Marilyn Monroe?
Not me.
Did you? You did not suspect it. Here, this is one of the scenes from the movie, next to sort of the iconic photograph that inspired it. Look at the two of you together.
Yeah.
And there is actually, this is not simply, you know, the way you naturally look. That moment right there, you actually turn into what we think of as Marilyn.
Right.
And I'm just curious, is the character in the movie, Norma Jean, you know, if I can call her character, even though it's a biopic, Norma Jean says there is no Marilyn, there's only Norma Jean.
Yes.
And even when the camera rolls, that's still Norma Jean.
Yes.
But then it really feels like Marilyn arrives in that moment. What do you think is happening?
Well,
As an actress yourself, who has to have something of a public persona, I imagine.
Yeah, I think we all have our public self and our private self. Mm-hmm. With Marilyn, you know, everything gets amplified because the star that she is. And Marilyn, for her, was something that, you know, was something that she kind of like had to turn on and off whenever she needed it. It was kind of like a something that was survival thing. And
like a comic making jokes so the football team won't beat him up. Something like that. Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That was my experience. Yeah. That's how I became a comedian. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think for the most part in the movie, Norma Jean is what's present. Mm-hmm. And Marilyn comes, you know, whenever she needed.
Now, the director, Andrew Dominik, said that the minute from, you know, he saw you in your audition, he knew that you would be his Marilyn. Did you have a sense of that?
Take three, he said.
Take three.
Take three.
The third time you auditioned, he knew it.
Yeah.
Did you walk out of there thinking that you had the part?
Oh my gosh, no, I don't think I did. I was just like driving down Hollywood Boulevard with this very cheap blonde wig and some kind of like makeup, and I just had the feeling that I did something good.
Yes.
But I wasn't sure.
You're literally going down Hollywood Boulevard in a car, basically dressed up as Marilyn.
I just happened to live very close to Hollywood Boulevard.
Right. There are a lot of Marilyns on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yes, I know that too.
So, you know, posing for photographs.
Yeah.
Exactly. Growing up in Cuba, which you moved when you were 18, is when you went to Spain. What did you know about Marilyn? What was your exposure? Obviously, she's an international icon, but what did you know about her?
Yeah, I wasn't sure, and I was asking my mom the other day if she remembered Marilyn movies on TV, and she definitely did. I guess at that time, I wasn't aware that she was Marilyn, you know? So it was later on where I started watching films after studying in drama school that I, you know, realized this is Marilyn Monroe and what, you know, what she meant.
One of the things that I think gets misunderstood about Marilyn Monroe or Norma Jean is that very intelligent, very thoughtful.
Yes.
She was very well informed on the roles that she did. There's a wonderful scene where she sort of surprises Arthur Miller with her insight to a character's inform him about things about the script that he's actually shown her that he doesn't understand about his characters. And you know, it sort of famously said about her that the only problem with this, you know, her being a dumb blonde is that she wasn't dumb and she wasn't a blonde.
That's right.
You know, that was the problem with that. I wonder if, as a young actress on a rapid upward trajectory in what we might call Hollywood in the world, is some of her story resonant for you as someone is beautiful but needs to be taken seriously as an artist?
Absolutely. I think at the beginning I was wondering what I would have in common with her, and to my surprise, it was a lot more than I thought. And just this opportunity alone is almost close to, you know, a miracle. The role like this was not supposed to come my way. It was not supposed to happen. Not just because I'm Latina and, you know, Cuban. It just doesn't, they don't exist just in general. Like, this is something very, very special. So the opportunity for me to play this part was just, you know, a dream.
We have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more Ana de Armas, everybody. Stick around.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wildcard, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
I wanted to show this photo.
Yeah.
Right here.
How's...
This is you at the Venice Film Festival. And this is actually very resonant of one of the scenes, or several of the scenes actually, in the movie of Marilyn being in front of the paparazzi on the red carpet. Hmm. What is that moment like for you? Because movie stars know this in ways that television schlubs like me don't understand, is what that moment is like on the red carpet. What do you do with yourself when all that attention is focused at you?
I just try not to trip. Just, you know, I try to like, just like keep it together. Uh-huh. It's very exciting. It's very emotional. Mm-hmm. You get back together with the cast. This movie we've been waiting for 3 years to come out.
Did you start shooting this before COVID?
2019.
Wow.
Yes. I know. I'm a different...
You got a 14-minute standing ovation at the Venice Film Festival. My question, what do you do for those 14 minutes? To give the audience...
There's time for everything.
But to give the audience some scale, the monologue I did tonight was 13 minutes long. You stood there in front of applause for 14 minutes.
Yes.
What do you do with your hands?
Well, you have to take breaks of, you know, clapping because they do hurt. It was just very emotional. You know, you're there with the audience and the best thing that can happen is that, you know, you get that reaction. You just don't expect that it's going to be that long. But the audience doesn't lie. It's just happening for real. That's what they're feeling. And it's very moving. And it's you know, you're there with all these people. My family was there. My mom was there. My closest friends. And it's a moment that it's beautiful. And you share this... you know, the first audience ever to watch this film. And it's kind of like a relief. And at the same time, it's like nerve-wracking because now everyone's going to judge it and see it, you know? And
how long did you work on it?
You mean the shoot?
Like the actual, how long were you actually playing the character?
9 weeks.
That's a very quick shoot.
It was horrible. It was fast.
It's a very taxing role.
Yeah, it was
for
really, really fast. 9 weeks is nothing to, you know, considering everything we covered in the movie.
And then were you able to take a break after that? Because it must have been exhausting.
It was exhausting. I did have no breaks.
What did you shoot next?
We finished shooting this movie on a Friday, and I got on a plane and I started shooting James Bond on Monday.
No time to die.
Paloma? Yes.
Which is
so I was
great
Paloma
part.
2 days later.
Wow.
Which was, you know, probably my therapy. and it's beautiful because this character was so bubbly and so, you know, badass and a completely different energy. But if you really look at it, there is some kind of Marilyn in her. And I thought that was that overlapping there and that see-through, you know, mm-hmm. was really charming.
Well, I'm going to go watch right now to look for a little Marilyn in there.
Yeah.
Well, it was so lovely to meet you.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on a beautiful
performance. Thank you.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.